just before the sermon, just one announcement today. Please pray for the soul of our friend and parishioner, Jeff Romery, who passed yesterday morning. His funeral mass will be offered this coming Thursday at 10 a.m. Jay was one of the pioneers of our congregation, so special thanks to him for all what he did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, today, Jesus is very direct. Jesus describes the various kinds of people for us. Those who do not hear, those who hear, but quickly lose the faith, those who persevere in faith, but who give themselves over to the temptations of the world, and those who persevere both in the faith and in the keeping of God's commandments. Obviously, it is Jesus' wish that we fall into this last class. We hope to be among the seed that falls on good ground, among those who with a good and perfect heart hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. And toward that end, there is an important point for us to remember. While the story is correct as far as it goes, it is only a parable, a metaphor. Indeed, there is a very important difference between the people who live this earth and the seed sown by the sower of this parable. The seeds of the parable are incapable of doing anything but about their condition. Those sown on bad ground obviously stay where they fall. And likewise, those that fall on good ground. People are different. Not just in that we can change location when we wish, but in that we have free will. If we don't know much about Jesus, we can make up our minds to learn more. We have the ability to decide whether God is more or less important in our lives. We have the capacity to resist temptation or to give ourselves over to it. We have the ability to make a reasonably holy life, yet even more holy, or to drift away from God and become less holy. This free will is obviously a two-edged sword. It can work for us, and it can work against us. Now, sometimes people ask, why did God make us this way, with this ability to choose evil instead of good? The answer lies in that catechism question, why did God make us? God made us to show forth His glory in this world. If God made us like machines that could only follow His pre-programmed instructions, the things we did would not be particularly glorious, nor would they merit very much of His love. Let's take an example in our mother's daily life. Dear mothers, you may be very pleased with your closed washing machine. From Monday to Sunday, for years, it has done your laundry. But even this faithful service doesn't cause you to feel any affection for the machine or to feel at all indebted to it. It is just doing, the machine is just doing what it is built to do. But let's say that someday you are not feeling well and one of your son, one of your daughters, who is usually not good for such of anything, gets up and seeing that you are ill, gathers all the laundry and does it for you, and dries it, and irons it, and folds, and all of the other things that need to be done, like in a perfect world. In this second case, your feeling is different. You are grateful for the help, and you feel appreciated, and you feel perhaps affection or pride that your teenager in crisis finally did something around the house. The difference, of course, is that your son, your daughter, has free will and could have gone off and ignored your needs, but freely, despite his or her imperfections, limitations, chose to help you when you needed it. Dear faithful, we find that if people regularly help each other in this way, they develop a relationship. They like each other. They get along. They will go out of their way for each other. Obviously, no such relationship is possible with a machine. So God created us with this free will so that we could relate to one another. Of course, but more importantly, so that we could relate to God and so that God could even relate to us. Without free will, there would be no evil in the proper sense of the word, but there will be also no real good. Incidentally, that is why the church has us make our first confession about the time we make our first communion. The maturity of reason that allows a child to merit grace for his good actions also makes him responsible for his bad actions. Now, often enough, we hear people claiming that their free will is too much of a burden, that there are too many things forbidden to them in this world that just cry out, tempting them to do evil. I think perhaps the best answer to that is contained in the epistle, the long epistle we heard today. St. Paul was probably a man about 50 years old when he wrote the lines we read today. And he was probably not much younger than 40 when he did any of the things he tells us about in this adventure today. He also seems to have had a physical issue, a physical problem, although we are not exactly sure what his sting in the flesh was. Was it a physical pain, or maybe a detractor following him to try to destroy his apostolic work. Anyway, certainly he would have been tempted just to stay home somewhere and not risk any more shipwrecks. But God's grace was sufficient for him. God's power was made perfect in St. Paul's weakness. And dear faithful, the same is true for us. If a middle-aged St. Paul could endure hunger and thirst and beatings and stonings, then we ought to be at least able to keep the commandments. And if we find that we are unable to do so, it is probably because we have not made our lives enough of an adventure of Christ. Perhaps we need to take on a little bit more difficulty in order for us to rise above the level of mundane sinfulness. If we make ourselves like St. Paul, at least in our enthusiasm for the faith and for its spread far and wide, then we too will be able to glory in our infirmities that the power of Christ may dwell in us. God has given us free will that we may love him and that he may love us. His grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in us. Today at Mass, Jesus has sown his word into us. And guess what? He awaits our response. As we prepare for Lent in 10 days, let us learn from St. Paul how to embrace this with a generous and good heart, and like him, bear fruit and good fruit. Lord, I am here before you. Grant that my heart may be good ground, ready to receive the seed of your divine word, and ready to bring forth abundant fruits of good works through consistency and perseverance. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.